Thank you so much. We've had a wonderful time so far in the presence of God, haven't we?
Amen.
Is God moving you to new levels?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Today I want to share a message about the human makeup. But I'm not talking about the makeup you put on your face. I'm talking about how we are made up. Some of you have heard part of this message before, but we need to be reminded about it, because in order to move to that next level that the Lord wants to move us to, we need to have a greater understanding of how God has made us and how we can cooperate with Him to reach that maturity that He's looking for us. Did you unplug it? Am I still on? Yeah, you can still hear.
Yeah.
Okay. You're all familiar with the word from Genesis, how God created Adam in His own image. And we read in Genesis 2:7 how God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So God in Genesis 1:27, He created man in His own image. God is made out of three elements, three people, three beings, but not people, but beings, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's not a surprise that God has also, since we are made in His image, we are made out of three parts. This is fundamental for us to understand. And we read this everywhere in Scripture, where it talks, it always says spirit, soul, and body. It doesn't say body, soul, and spirit. It always says spirit, soul, and body. Why? Because we are primarily a spirit being. God is a spirit. We are created in His image. We are primarily a spirit being. It says, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus. He who calls you is faithful. He will do it. Who's going to do it?
Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes. If we were to do it ourselves, we wouldn't get there.
Yeah.
But God is going to do it. How is He going to do it? He's going to do it through spirit first, and then the soul, and then body. Spirit always comes first. This is how we are made up. We are made up in these three elements. It says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So our bodies is full of water, and we're made up of the same elements that you get in the ground, because that's how God made us. But that is talking about the body. If you want to know what your body looks like, you can look down, but actually to see your full body, you need a mirror, don't you? Sometimes you need two mirrors if you want to see what you look like from the back as well. Ladies, when you go in and try on that new coat, you'll look at one to see, what does the coat look like from the back? That would be handy to know, wouldn't it? We need a mirror in order to see our body. I don't need to tell you about your body, because the world talks about bodies all the time. We get fed up with it. Maybe sometimes a bit of an overemphasis. But it is our house for the moment. Thank God we're going to get a glorified body. Oh, it's going to be so good. Our soul, as you know, our soul is made up of our mind. So that's our reasoning, our thinking, of our emotions, how we feel. It's made up of, it's actually our will, the decisions that we make, our personality. It's like the real person. Now, the soul is like a copy of the body that sits and lives inside all of the body. Now, the spirit is on the inside. So I think we're quite familiar with what our soul is, and it's not, it's different from what our body is. When we are born again, oops, there we go. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Amen.
All things are passed away, behold, all things have become new.
Amen.
When we are born again, our spirit is made new. It is the spirit that has been recreated, that's come alive and made perfect in that instant that the Holy Spirit comes inside as we give our lives to Jesus and Jesus enters into our lives. Your spirit comes alive. We are made new. We are perfected. If you went to the mirror 2 minutes later and checked your face, you'll discover your face is the same. Your hairdo is the same. So what happens is the change takes place in our spirit. Change in the soul and body is a process. It is not immediate. Listen to me. Change in your soul is not immediate. Initially, there is no change because it is a process. Now, I'm quoting back to the Genesis 2:7, how God breathed his breath of life in, and that's how Adam came alive. So, it is the breath of God, and the word for spirit and the word for air is the same. Because he's put his air, his spirit into us, and that's what makes us come alive. It's God breathed in. Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. Our spirit starts to communicate with God through Holy Spirit. It's all in one. We start to experience things we never experienced before. Now, when this just happens, it can be confusing for the mind. It's like, what's going on here? You see, because before you were born again, your spirit was dead. So what was happening in you, basically your soul and your body ran the show. You were just motivated by the appetites of what the Bible calls the flesh. But now, your spirit is alive, and it can be a little bit of a shock for your soul. You see? We have to understand that, to understand ourselves, in order to know how to partner with God, because he's the one that wants to sanctify us. He can't do it if you're resisting. Why? Because he's given us a free will. So we need to partner with them. So we need to understand. But your spirit is alive. And your spirit does not get old. Your spirit is perfect. Even if your body is struggling, if you're sick, if you're emotionally unwell, your spirit is strong. I want to tell you the story about my earthly father. Because I was there. I saw it and I experienced it, and I thought to myself, no one can ever persuade me that we as Christians do not have a perfect spirit, because I saw it for myself. As you know, I'm from Denmark. I got the phone call, my father had had a heart attack, was in hospital, so they didn't know if he would make it. I was really naturally upset. Tried to get the first flight to go back. By the time I got back, he'd already woken up, and he'd sat up in the bed and told the nurse, I saw Jesus, I saw Jesus. He's preaching. My family that were there, they said when they walked into the room and the nurse walked out, there were tears running down her cheeks. Because he was so excited he'd been with Jesus.
Amen.
See, as you get, if you walk with the Lord, as your time gets closer to the coming home. You start to be living more in the spiritual world than in the natural world. Anyway, we were there. He was conscious. Everybody started to leave again, but I was still there. And then we got a phone call from the hospital. He deteriorated again, and I thought, unpack your bag again. I couldn't leave my mother. He was going to die. So we and the rest of the family all returned again. And then we would take turns to stay overnight at the hospital. While he was very unwell, my parents had a very good friend in the Salvation Army, and this woman was on fire for God. So she came up to visit while he's lying in this hospital bed, and she walked in and she said, "Come on, let's pray." And so my brother and I, we stood at each side of my father's bed and we started to pray. Lo and behold, my father picked up his voice and started to pray. Now remember, before and after, he couldn't complete a sentence. Because of the pain, we the family had said to the hospital it was okay to give him whatever painkillers, because he was in a lot of pain. Really a lot of pain, and they broke our heart. So he would say, "Oh, I need to go to work." He couldn't complete a sentence. But when she said, "Let us pray," he started to pray out loud. And he was thanking Jesus for the blood. He was thanking for salvation. He was praying the way he would always pray so passionately. Complete sentences. There was no confusion. None whatsoever. He was as live as ever. And just a few days later, the Lord took him home. But you cannot tell me that his spirit was not alive. His spirit was not affected by his mind and by all the painkillers. His mind, his soul was really impacted, but his spirit was as sharp as ever.
Amen.
Sharp as ever. This is how God has created us. We are primarily spirit. We are eternal beings. So glorious. And it says here, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Where does the witness come? In our spirit. Yes. Not in your body or your soul. But the way God speaks, he always speaks through our spirit into our soul. And that transit. Communication always goes this way. He bears witness with our spirit. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit. In spirit. This morning, we've been worshiping our spirits reach past the roof, right? Past the roof. Because Holy Spirit and our spirit are together and are one.
Amen.
Understanding that our soul is separate from our spirit, that explains to you that you get born again and you can have been a Christian for a long time. There's a call for the prayer meeting. What does your soul say? "I'm too tired. I just want to put my feet up and watch television or listen to my music." That's your soul. It can be your soul. That's what the Bible calls a carnal Christian. Because it's still, if we're like that, we're still living by the desires here and not here. We have to allow Holy Spirit through our spirit to rule. But the soul has been so used to making all decisions. Now our soul is beautiful when it's in this rightful place and led through our spirit, which is made perfect. Our spirit sits in our innermost being. The Bible says rivers of living water will flow out of your innermost being. So your spirit sits here in your innermost being. And we must be born again to be complete. If we're not born again and our spirit is still dead, you're only 2/3 of what you should be. And the most important third is missing.
Amen.
You are dead. We need to be born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. If you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You're like a blind man. So we must be born again. At salvation, a spirit is born again. Our souls are being saved. Hebrews 10:39. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Can you see here that it is a process? A soul is work in process. The soul has a bodily shape inside the body. And the soul is like in between our spirit and our body. How do I know that? Well, remember, Jesus told the story of the rich man in Luke 16. And he was able to see. So he was able to see in Abraham's bosom. He was able to see the beggar. So the fact that he could see means he's got eyes. He was thirsty, so he's got a tongue, so he's got a mouth. You can see there that it is the same as a body. It's the shape of a body. The soul is to be kept in subjection to the spirit, and our soul should keep our body in subjection to our spirit, because this is how God designed for the human spirit to be indwelled and ruled by Holy Spirit, so that it rules over our soul and our body. And so it was that Jesus paid the price for us. We sang it in Isaiah 53, thou shalt make his soul an offering for our sin. Jesus' soul paid the price for our sin. I talked in the beginning about a mirror. So we have a spiritual mirror. And this is actually the only way that you can check what your soul is up to and what how your soul is doing. Now, if I want to see if my hair's in the wrong way, I need to look in the natural mirror. We look in the natural mirror, we check our teeth before we go out, right? You check, men, you check your tie, if you wear a tie or whatever. You know, we check ourselves in the mirror, in the natural, just to see if everything is the way we want it to be. But how do we check our soul, how our soul is doing? Well, here in James 1, it says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. He observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So, it talks about the word of God. The word of God is our mirror for our soul. God has given us a spiritual mirror in order to see how our soul is doing. This does not come about by going to a psychiatrist. No. That comes about by the word of God. Yeah. That is what God has given us so that we can know how we are doing. And if we don't use this mirror, we will remain very carnal Christian. And then some people say, how is it I'm not growing? Well, because you're not using the mirror. You're not using the mirror that God has given you. Amen. It's impossible for us to know the state of our soul if we don't use the mirror. We need to use it. There's another scripture in John 6. It says, it is the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Now the flesh, the old man, is our old sinful nature. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Notice again the sequence. Spirit first, then the soul, then the body. And the flesh, the body and the soul profits nothing, because the spiritual life comes through Holy Spirit into our spirit. It's really interesting when we study what the scripture teaches about our eternal destination. No, about the three parts that we are. Ecclesiastes 12:7, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So when someone dies, as you know, our bodies, our current bodies, decompose.
Yes.
Now the scripture clearly tells that there will be a resurrection of bodies, everybody's bodies. Those that are born again will be resurrected, and we will stand before the judgment seat of Jesus. Yes, believers, mm-hmm. we will. Yeah. Those that are unbelievers, on the last day, when they are resurrected, will, on the white throne judgment, they will have to stand before God.
Amen.
This is big trouble. If you are not born again, and you have to stand before God, the creator of the entire universe, and give account of everything you've done and said, whoa. Without the forgiveness of sin of Jesus, deep trouble. Do you see that? Deep trouble. But that's what the Bible teaches. So, when an unbeliever dies, it says the spirit will return to God who gave it. Then we read in Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So an unbeliever who doesn't receive the free gift of salvation before they die, it says their soul and body will be in hell. It doesn't mention their spirit, because the spirit has gone back to Father God who gave it. So they will be incomplete forever without their spirit. The spirit is not mentioned in the scripture, because it has gone back to God. When God communicates to us, he always communicates through the Spirit. This is where the communication says, God is Spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. This is how God communicates to us. And the Lord has designed it this way, that our soul needs to learn to listen through our spirit and be spirit-led.
Amen.
And not be led, you know, the body saying, oh, I'm too hungry, it's time just to go, just skip it, give up, it's too hard. Our soul and our body needs to be subjected to the Word of God. We're all very familiar with this verse from Hebrews, aren't we? About the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. So what can separate what is our spirit and what's our soul? The Word of God. You need the Word of God in able to understand, is that my soul or is that my spirit? We need the Word of God then. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. So we need the Word of God in able to understand our own heart. Does it not tell us in the Bible that our hearts can be very deceitful? So we need the Word of God to uncover, and we need to continuously pray, God, search my heart. We need to have a teachable spirit. Although we are made perfect in our spirit, our soul is work in progress, and this is where we need to cooperate with Holy Spirit, and we need to discern the thoughts and the intent of the heart. How can this process take place to make us more Christ-like? Well, we need to learn to use the mirror. Piercing even the division of soul and spirit. God's word works to change our soul in the right direction. A spirit has been set free, but a soul is still working. So the word of God is like a sword, and it's very, very sharp, and it's two-edged. So it cuts straight in, so it has the ability to reach to where it needs to go without damaging anything else. There will be no damage to you, but it will separate spirit from soul. It will cut straight in if you will listen, if I will listen. If I will obey, I will be changed. If I will surrender that part of my life to God as He points it out and uncovers the intent of my heart can be changed. If I will allow Him, instead of just thinking, oh, I'm not listening to that, it's a little bit uncomfortable. It's a little bit uncomfortable to have that incision, isn't it? It's a little bit uncomfortable, but we need to allow that. The sword only cuts what needs to be cut. The purpose of the sharpness of it is to make sure there's no damage elsewhere. And the piercing piece is to reach where nothing else can reach. And separate our soul from our spirit. You know, Corinthians says that weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So it's talking about arguments and thoughts. Where are your arguments and thoughts? They're in your soul. They're not in your spirit, they're here. This is the place. This is the place we need to allow the word of God. Then we have this scripture here from Romans 12 that tells us that we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. To be transformed. So we have a responsibility. Can you see that from the way it's worded?
Amen.
Be transformed. We've got to allow to be transformed. We don't want to stay carnal Christians. We won't reach our destiny. We won't make an impact. Livingston won't be saved unless we renew our mind. It's our responsibility to be transformed. This is how God has set it up for us to do. Paul writes to the church in Corinth. This is written to Christians. He is not writing to unbelievers. He's not writing to unsaved people. He's writing to the church. Right? You're familiar with the two letters to the Corinthians. And this is what he says. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Here we have two pieces. We have flesh and spirit. We need to be cleansed. We need to be cleansed. And then in the second scripture it says, for if anyone comes to you and preaches a Jesus that's different other than the Jesus we preach, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. So here we have a warning from Paul against two elements that can impact our soul. One is the flesh, that's a sinful nature, the old man. The other one is a spirit, a different spirit. Another word, a demon. This is a warning. And he's writing to Christians, he's not writing to the world. Now the devil, as we know, is a legal expert. Yes, he's very strong, but he must always Every being in the entire universe must obey the laws of God.
Amen.
They're only allowed to do things within God's law. Yes? You understand that? That's how the whole universe operates, by the law of God. So the devil's a legal expert. He will attack at the weakest point and at the weakest time. You know, if there's sin. If there's a breaking of God's law, he because he has zero mercy, zero evil, there's pure evil. Even when you have a bad person, they're not necessarily 100% evil. You know, they'll have a bit of humanity. But the demons and the enemy is totally opposite. So this is where the attacks takes place. The attack doesn't happen here. We are protected. Our spirit is made new and perfect, and Holy Spirit lives inside.
Amen.
Holy Spirit is living in our spirit man.
Mm-hmm.
There's no room for any demon or anything. However, in our soul and our body, of course, when we are born again, you could be instantly healed of all your diseases, and God could do a total miracle also in your soul. But really, in reality, when we read the scriptures, we see that the soul and the body, they come way, way after.
Yes.
So that's why Paul is warning. You need to look and get rid of all the filthiness, that which is of the flesh and that which is the spirit. You need to rid yourself of it. This is what he's saying to the Christians. Why? Because it would be a different teaching altogether, but we know that people, if you're born again, you cannot be demon-possessed, but you could be oppressed.
Yeah.
It could be something that's come over
from
your early life and it's not been dealt with.
Yeah.
When we are born again,
we
don't necessarily understand to allow God into every compartment of our heart yet.
Amen.
Why? Because when we're born again, this is the piece that's completely made whole.
Hallelujah.
But over here, it's work in progress.
Amen.
Why is it important to understand what the attack is, whether it's the flesh or whether it's demonic? Why is it important to have that discernment? Because the remedies are different. Anything that's a demon, what does Jesus say?
Cast
it out. Demons don't go because you say, "Ah, you know, I wish you would just..." No, no. You take your authority.
Amen.
But the flesh, we have to crucify. We have to pick up our cross every day.
Yeah.
So there's two elements. And so as our spirit becomes alive, we become aware of the realities of the spiritual world, which is more real than the natural world. So this is why it's important for us to really, really understand this.
Amen.
Ephesians 6:12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So there is a spiritual battle here. Now, an example could be, there's many examples that can be harassing people, but I think a big one that many of us at some point in our life struggle with is to forgive, because of the kind of world that we live in. And when we read the parable of the unforgiving servant, remember the servant was delivered to the tormentors. The tormentors are demons. So that he ended up being tormented. But then it goes on, and Jesus says, "So will be Heavenly Father also do to you, if each of you do not forgive." So you can see here the principle, if we choose not to do it God's way, we are removing ourselves from the protection that we have.
Yeah.
When if we choose to go with the sin, instead of going God's way, we're losing that protection.
Amen.
And we're vulnerable. We must not step away from the protection, but we must learn God's way. And if we go God's way, you know, he has a way and he will help us and Amen. Make it possible.
Amen.
Make it possible. So how do we stay strong? Well, the world tells us all over, you will see all over in media, how to stay healthy, what to eat, your exercise. We get bombarded with that every day. You do get some as well about your soul. And a lot of these things are good advice. But as Christians, we know that actually we need an encounter with Jesus, and we need continuous encounters with the Lord to have complete well-being, to have complete healing from everything from our past. We need encounter in order to have completeness of soul. If we have completeness of soul, actually this will manifest then in our body. But you know that even the doctors will tell you that if you've got so much anguish of your soul, eventually it's likely to be demonstrated in sickness in the body.
Amen.
But how do we get our soul to be healthy? Well, we need our spirit to be ruling over.
Yes.
And have Holy Spirit sensitivity and be led by the Spirit all the time.
Amen.
If anyone is in Christ, he is a new being. So this is really important. So we need to heed the words of Paul that he writes to the church and distinguish, is our problem of the flesh? Is our problem a spiritual one? Because there's different remedies and it's all very integrated and knit together. And we need that inner healing in order for us to move on to the next level. It's important that we receive all the inner healing and the deliverance and the Word of God in our lives.
Amen.
Many carnal Christians, and yeah, it's very easy for us to be very caught up with our circumstances. But our circumstances don't determine who we are.
Amen.
We are who we are is determined by what Jesus has done for us. Who you are is determined by what Jesus did on the cross for you.
Amen.
And what God put into you when he created you.
Amen.
What Jesus has done and gone through for you determines your future. So you need to use the mirror that God has given you. The scripture says, examine yourself. When it's examining ourselves, it's talking about us using the mirror to look into our soul and say, why did I lose my temper there? If I lose my temper, there's no point in me blaming the person that, you know, upset me. If I lose my temper, it was me that lost the temper, it was my mouth, so it must have come from inside of myself. No point blaming somebody else. Yes, people can really test you to the limit, but if I am saying something I shouldn't have, it came from me and from my heart. So I have to examine myself. Over and over, the scripture tells us, examine yourself. Why did this happen? Why did I react the way I did? Why did I get offended? Jesus said, oh, I pray, talking to the disciples, I pray that you won't be offended. Offense is a big problem in churches. Offended sometimes over, but ask yourself then, why? How could that offend me? Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. you will come. Remember the parable of the sower. The enemy came to steal what? The word. The enemy will come to steal the word. He's trying to smash up your mirror. He's trying to steal your mirror from you, because then you won't know where you are. Don't take it personal. Why does he steal our mirror, the word? Because he knows that word can transform us to be powerful warriors in the kingdom. So the enemy will come and try and steal the word. It can be the written word. It can be your prophetic word. Oh yes, the enemy wants to steal your personal prophetic word. What God has said to you is going, what your destiny is. He will try and he'll try to steal it. But we need to hold on. Because when we believe that word, we are powerful.
Amen.
And we will see the fulfillment.
Yes.
We will see the fulfillment. In that parable says, these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. We don't want him to steal. We want to hang on to the word of the God.
Amen.
The Logos word, the Rhema word. Hang on to it. Don't allow the enemy to steal. Remember in Matthew 7, the parable of the house built on the rock and the house built on the sand. Both of them were in a storm. Just because you're in a storm doesn't mean that you've done something wrong. It does not mean that you've done something wrong. Because Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulations. The storm came both to the man who built on the rock and the one on the sand. So we're going to have storms. Yes, circumstances are going to be messy and painful. But if we have built a house on the rock, we will stand. We will stand. So Jesus says, be of good cheer, because I have overcome. We want to walk by faith, not by sight. We don't want to be a roller coaster Christian. I mean, if you look at your soul, different people are different ways. But I think if we're all being honest, we all experience this bit here. Some people experience that when they watch a football match, right? Some people experience this at their work. Sometimes you experience that when you're trying to teach your children the right way. There's just different triggers to different people. But we want to be walking by faith and not be emotionally charged. We want to walk by faith and bring it all to the Lord. Amen. Yeah, the children have come to join us. Praise God. Amen. So let's close in prayer and I'll hand